You've landed Inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gondor.
Hello, Launch Street. Tamara Gondor here, your host. I can't believe it's fall already. Sometimes I feel like the weeks are slow, but the years are fast. You know what I mean? All right. I have a real treat for you today, as I do every day. But this was one of those interviews that just made my heart sing for our community of innovators. And I just want to share with you that the weeks leading up to my interview with this rock star guest, Dana Wild, you may have heard her name, Laura, who is my right hand and the gatekeeper, really, to a lot of the requests we get for podcast interviews, sends me this text that says, OMG, I have a book for you. And so, you know, she rarely says that. I mean, we get at least 10 books a week from people that want to be on the show. So when Laura sends me a text with that kind of urgency and enthusiasm, I knew it was kind of a big deal. The book is Train Your Brain. And I read it like I binge watched Netflix. I could not put it down. I took notes. I reread some parts. I just kept going and going. It was so good that I then instantly went to Dana's website and signed up for her online program. And by the way, as I'm telling you all this, I don't make any money from raving about Dana. I'm saying this because it really impacted my work in a very instant way. And all of this is happening while we're getting ready for her interview. So Dana doesn't even know that I'm now stalking her full on. She's the bomb diggity, and her work around mindset will open up whole new channels of success for you. And before I give you the formal bio, let me just tell you that part of the reason I so appreciate Dana's work and the reason I think she's having a big impact, at least for me, is that she's not fluff. There's a lot of why and science behind it. And, you know, I'm a free spirit wrapped up in a type A personality. So I want motivation, but I also want hard facts. Guessing you knew that already about me. So, okay, here we go. Dana is the best-selling author of Train Your Brain. She grew her business from zero to $1 million in just 19 months. So she knows what she's talking about. And she teaches others to do the same. Here we go. Oh, wait, before I go, she's giving her book away to Launch Street in the interview for free. Other people pay for it. So please show Dana love and take advantage. We'll put the link in the show notes. I think it's danawild.com/, and wild is with an E, /Tamara. But we'll put the link in the show notes. But oh my gosh, take advantage of this. All right. I mean it this time. Here we go. Dana, thank you so much for joining me today. This is going to be such a wild conversation. I can't wait.
I am so excited and honored to be here, Tamara. Thank you so much. We are going to rock and roll this.
Oh my gosh. There's so much. There's going to be so many insights. Okay. Let's just start by getting to know you. What's your favorite innovative brand or business, and why do you love it so much?
Okay. Now, I hate to give an answer that everybody else gives, and I might be doing that here, but I'm going to give you a good why. So Apple is mm-hmm. who I love. And the reason why, I don't know if this is an urban legend, but what I heard was when they came up with the iPhone, most companies, when they're making their phones, they say, well, what can we do that to work and create something within the machines that we have? Let's make a little bit different design. And urban legend has it that when they came up with the iPhone, they said, tell us what you want to create, and then we'll go out and build the machines to make it. And so for Brilliant. Me, yeah, for me, that's how I want to live my life. I don't want to find a way to adapt what's already in existence. I want to be able to think, like, what would I do if there were no possibilities, and then figure out how to make it work.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that kind of working backwards almost, I do think that a lot of businesses fail because they work forward and they are really wrapped up in their product or service, but not what the person on the other end of that actually needs.
Yeah. And the bigger picture, like really opening it up and saying to yourself, well, if I were starting today, what would I do? And so then you're not in fix it mode. We are trying to see how can I fix the situation we've got. Now you're opened up to possibilities to say, well, what if we just start completely over? What would I do now?
And ironically, at least with Apple, in doing so, they actually found out they had a lot of the technology already existed. It was a matter of arranging it in the right way.
There you go. So, see, I don't even know the urban legend or if I just made it up in my mind. So I'm glad to get confirmation that it's a true story.
Let's go with it, Dana. That's right. So, you know, as you and I were talking offline, you have this incredible business that helps people set themselves and create success, really focusing on mindset. But before we kind of dig into some of my specific questions, I'd love to understand how you discovered that focusing on your mindset mattered more than the actions and the tactics, because I think that's where a lot of us start.
Well, I was really lucky. I went into a corporate job right after high school. So I never went to college, went right into a corporate job because that was kind of the family culture. And it was a cubicle job. And I was miserable there. It was very, and I know some people, it's a really good fit for them. But for me and my personality, it wasn't a good fit. But the benefit they gave at age 19, I was able to go through a course from a man named Lou Tice, who taught me in 40 hours with this corporation everything I needed to know about how the brain works. And I immediately quit the corporate job as soon as I got, I'm like, thank you so much for the training. I'm out of here now. And I started what I call my grand adventure. So I started doing all these things like living out of a backpack for 10 years and, you know, worked in film and video and did all these different, wrote a book at 23, all these things. And what I realized was that for me, I had to prove it to myself. So I could have the concepts about how the brain works and that this is really what's going on and this is why you're getting the results you're getting. But I'm pretty practical. Mm-hmm. And so I had to just take a leap of faith and try different things and experiment and read more and study and try different things and experiment. And sure enough, when you let your brain convince you that this is how it works, you don't doubt it anymore. You start to realize like, oh my gosh, it is true what they say. Everybody's out there, all these motivational speakers, like what you think about, you bring about, and what you focus on grows, but nobody tells you why. And so that was the piece that for me was missing until I went on my own.
So let's talk a little bit about the why, because I totally agree with you and hear what you're saying around. I read all the motivational books of You Can Do It. And I never really believed it. It's like, I want to, like I'm reading it and I'm cheering and I'm doing my, you know, cartwheels, but something's not in alignment. I can never figure out why. So help me understand what is that why?
Yeah, here's the great part is like the whole train your brain concept, you're going to be able to get it right here in these next sentences that I say, because once you get this piece, you can't go back. So I think everybody should have to sign a disclaimer now who's listening, because I'm going to tell you something. And once you hear it, you can never go back and unhear it.
They might need
it.
To pull over. Pull over if you're driving.
That's right. Here's what it is for the after the buildup is that each and every one of us in our brains, we have a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, which is the RAS or the RAS. And you may have even heard about the RAS before, but the way that people usually explain it is they explain it like you have these beliefs and it's matching up. And it felt so like esoteric or so like, oh, what are these unconscious beliefs in my brain that are sabotaging me? That are, it's like, you know, brain is sabotager that jumps out from behind a tree and tries to knock you down. And it's so much simpler than that. The reticular activating system is just standing at attention all day, every day, like the little matchmaker that lives in your head, listening to what you're thinking about and what you're talking about. And it's your best friend. If every person now would look around the room or the car they're sitting in and look at the sensations and stimulation and colors and sounds and smells and all of this stimulation in 1 second of the day, we have billions and billions and billions every single day. And that RAS, that little reticular activating system, says, I am your best friend. I'm going to sift through all of this for you. And I'm going to find for you what you're thinking and talking about, because I'm the little matchmaker in your head. And anybody who has bought a new car or changed cars or, you know, maybe you got pregnant or your partner got pregnant, you see pregnant women everywhere. Maybe you get the new car, you see that same car everywhere. Maybe you just have a baby, you see babies everywhere. Your reticular activating system is bringing that stuff on your radar. That's what it does.
So with a car, I get it. It's funny because I actually recently was looking to buy a Jeep, and all of a sudden I'm like, God, everybody here has Jeeps. I don't know if
Isn't
I can get
that
one.
Crazy?
But they must. I think they were always there.
They were always there. It's funny.
I want to, if it's okay with you, I want to share what you and I were talking about offline about the peacock feather.
Yeah.
Okay. And kind of looking for stuff, because you have some exercises around kind of really bringing this to life.
Yes.
And just for the listeners, I mean, you'll probably do a better job summing it up, but you have this exercise basically where you look for something, right? I see, it's amazing. I see peacock feathers everywhere. And you can pick from a bunch of stuff. And as I was sharing with you, I picked peacock feathers because I was like, oh, I'll get her. It'll be hard. That was my mindset, which is ridiculous, but there it was. And yes. I didn't pick something easier like roses because I thought, well, obviously those, see those, it's summer. They're everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So sure enough, I didn't see that many of them, but I saw a lot of feathers. And then after listening to your debrief, I started to see them because I realized what I was trying to do. I say all that to say that the big aha for me was, oh my gosh, I actively look to make things hard.
Yeah.
And I'm probably, my Raz is probably doing that in my business and in my life just as much as it was in this tiny little exercise of looking for a peacock feather.
Yeah,
and I didn't even realize it.
Well, that's exactly right. And it is the reason we do that particular experiment in that course is because it does show you. I work mainly with entrepreneurs, and it shows you like the things you do when it comes to mindset are the same things you do in your business.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have a disbelief in that mindset works, you probably have a little disbelief in that your business is working. You know, you maybe don't have the gift of faith or you can't make that leap. And specifically this exercise that you're talking about, and everybody here can do something similar to it right now. One of my favorite mantras, we call them mantras, some people call them affirmations or declarations, is blank is so easy. And so whatever you've been having a challenge with, whether it's losing weight or making money or getting clients, I would say to people for the next 3 days, 4 days, whatever, start saying 25 times a day, losing weight is so easy, losing weight is so easy, or making money is so easy, making money is so easy, or getting clients is so easy, whatever it is, because it almost makes you laugh. If you've been struggling with something, it's almost ludicrous to be like, oh yeah, losing weight's so easy. And if you don't argue with it, if you just have fun with it and you almost laugh at yourself and suspend your disbelief and say it 25 to 50 times a day, what happens is it doesn't take a long time. Within 72 hours, your reticular activating system kicks in and you start to see evidence that it's working. And so the experiment that you did and the one I'm talking about now that everybody can do, what I want you to do is let your brain show you that whatever you focus on, like set reminders on your phones and put, you know, little post-it notes up and remind yourself of it. Whatever you focus on, whatever you tell your brain to look for, it will find for you. And so now Train Your Brain is designed to help people be better thinkers. You know, quit thinking on automatic pilot, quit thinking randomly, be a proactive thinker in your head and create the life you want.
You know, I think when you think about being an innovator, trying to launch a new idea, trying to maybe make a shift in direction in the business, whatever it is, it really, if I hear you right, it's the Raz that's telling you, if you say and you believe this will never work, they'll never go for it. Yes. There's a lot of reasons why this is going to fail. You're just going to plain and simply find those reasons, not because necessarily that's what's true, but because that's what you're making true.
Yeah, you just like you see the pregnant woman and the car and the baby, you will see the examples that it's not working because your brain is your best friend and it's continually looking for things to support you. And so if you are saying something to yourself,
tender and sweet.
It is. It wants to support you. And so one of the things every one of your listeners can do right now is just start saying, I'm innovative. I'm innovative. I'm innovative. I like being an innovator. I'm innovative. I know I'm innovative. And if that's too strong, then say, I'm starting to feel more and more like I'm an innovator. I'm starting to see more and more that I'm an innovator. It's fun being an innovator. I have a desire to be an innovator. I mean, don't you just feel better even just saying that word over and over again? And what happens is your brain will support it. I'll tell you a little story that will kind of crack you up. When I was 20 something years old, very young, under probably maybe 23. Anyway, I was hired as the first employee at a company called Creative Memories. And Creative Memories was a scrapbooking company. There were, you know, direct sales, six consultants nationwide, brand new company. And there was one manager, and she brought me in and introduced me to all the other different departments. And every time she'd introduce me, she'd say, "This is Dana, and she's brilliant." Now I'm 20 something years old and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's got high expectations, you know,
no.
But she kept saying, "She's brilliant. She's brilliant. You're going to love her. She's brilliant. She's brilliant. She's brilliant." And I was brilliant. I stepped up. I did some amazing things for that company at a really young age, came up with some really creative, innovative ideas. But I know it was because it was her expectation I was meeting. And we can all meet our own expectation that way. If you call yourself not intuitive, you're not going to be intuitive. But on the other hand, if you allow that part of yourself to grow by starting with the thoughts, your brain will support you and bring you the rest of the way there.
You know, we were talking offline about our innovation assessment that tells people what type of everyday innovator they are. And part of the reason we did that is exactly what you're saying, to give people that first moment of proof.
Yes.
When they say, because, you know, we say I'm not innovative, and then there's proof. It's exhausting. You can't come up with ideas, right? It's that self-fulfilling kind of cycle you're talking about. And then once you start to see the proof, you can start to see more proof and more proof. And then you start to kind of turn it around. And I love what you're saying about saying, like, I love being an innovator. Being an innovator is so easy. I'm just going to start saying that every day. That's great. All of us need to do that. It's such a great little trick. And it almost, I don't know about you, but I'm sitting here smiling as I'm saying it for no reason, because I'm looking at myself in the computer reflection, not looking at anyone. I want to ask you a question, though, because you said something about don't argue with it, just say it. And one of the things that you address in your book, Train Your Mind, which Launch Street, you need to go out and get, and then sign up for her online course. I promise you, she's not paying me separately. I just fell in love with her work and what the success that it brings. So before we even got on this podcast, I was like, I must have all this. So, but one of the things you really address in your book that I love, and it just gnaws at me when I talk about or hear people talk about affirmations and positive thinking, is, you know, and I've had this experience where I'll set up a great affirmation. My business is going to do $5 million in revenue this year, right? And I could, like, logistically, if I look at my revenue streams, if I look at what I can offer the world, if I look at my audience, that's possible. But I don't get there because there's something gnawing at me with those affirmations. It's like, yes, I don't really believe them. And I think a lot of people out there experience that, this, okay, I've got my sticky notes, they're super freaking positive, yet they don't work.
Yeah. This is the biggest, I think, I don't know if it's a failing of the positive thinking movement or if it's just bad PR, but the thing with affirmations is that perfect language affirmations like I am abundant or money is flowing to me, those are all wonderful affirmations, and those work if you're already feeling good. But when most of us, if we've got something that's been an issue for a lot of years, to start saying, you know, I always use an example. I've got a somebody we worked with who was shy, and he was a filmmaker, and he would go to networking meetings, and what's he going to do? Start walking around going, I'm an extrovert. You know, it's silly. Right. You know, you're not going to do that. So the word that I like to give people in these cases is, and there's several power words in the English language, but the power word but is one of my favorites. So you can be, let's say, a procrastinator, or you can even think you're not creative or not artistic or not an innovator, right? Anything that you say, well, I'm not going to be able to tell myself an innovator because it's just like my whole life I've never been creative or any of this, right? So first of all, obviously, take the assessment if you haven't already taken the assessment, because you'll see that it'll remind you of who you are in the world. But if you start talking to yourself in a more gentle way, like, I'm not creative or I haven't been creative, but I'm open to seeing myself in new ways. But I do come up with some pretty good ideas. But it's funny how I still stand out now and again. But my clients like my style, right? And when what happens, the word but, when you say that word, it negates everything that came before it, and it affirms whatever comes after it. And so what we try to tell people with being entrepreneurs is that most of the world is telling you, you can't be successful unless you're different. You need to be an extrovert. You need to be organized. You need to be, you know, not a procrastinator.
I mean, it's a lot of pressure. You have to be perfect.
Exactly. It's all these ways that you're not measuring up. And that's what keeps all of us feeling not capable, playing the comparison game, feeling small, all of that stuff. And what I'm here to tell people, what is primary to my message, is that you have everything you need to be successful right now. And in fact, the things that you think you need to change are actually your biggest assets, which is what you're telling them too. This is why we're such a good match, Tamara. And the only thing I'm asking you to do is speak about it in a different way. You know, speak about it in a way that you're, that it's the thing that's making you successful, not the thing that's holding you back, because then your brain will get on board and support that.
So I'm going to go personal and then business as examples and tell me if I get it right. So it's something like, I used to have a hard time controlling my food, but now I thought that through a little more. I was trying to come up with something for weight loss. Yeah.
No, you're right. Okay. So here would be the thing. The thing would be like, I can't lose weight, right? Or what would be the problem? Like, give me an example of something that would be a problem food.
A problem food? You mean like ice cream?
That was really fast.
Well, actually, for me, it's frosting. If I'm being totally honest, I actually don't eat ice cream, but I have a lot of it because the kids eat it. I'm a frosting whore. A cake is just there to put the frosting.
Oh my gosh, I know. My man too, when it comes to candy, he's always like, could you eat any candies that aren't designed for 12-year-olds?
No.
It's like the more sugar that's in it, I'm in, right?
80s candy is the best.
The message, the reason I ask you this specifically is the message then is, you know, if I eat frosting, I'm going to gain weight, right? Or there are certain things I have to eat if I'm going, and certain things I can't eat if I'm going to lose weight. But if we think about it, most people who are naturally skinny, what are the thoughts in their head? The thoughts in their head are things like, no matter what I eat, I can't seem to gain weight. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't seem to gain weight. No matter what, I can't seem to gain weight. And so the question I ask people is, do you want to give up the frosting, or do you want to eat the frosting and not gain weight? So you can't get a wrong answer here. You have four choices with everything. Do the thing and feel bad. Do the thing and feel good. Don't do the thing and feel bad. Don't do the thing and feel good. And so you get to choose what you want. But as long as you feel good in the message, your brain will support you, because happiness is practical, and we can get into that. So you have a choice. The first message would be something like, you know, I used to really like frosting, but now I kind of lost my taste for it. I don't know if I grew out of it. I used to be a sugar hound, but lately I've just noticed I'm not so into it. But recently it just seems like, but it's funny how I don't really care for it as much anymore, you know? So that's giving it up. Or you can say, yeah, I eat sugar, but it doesn't affect me. Or even actually, that's a negative. So you have to bust myself too. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, I eat frosting. The more frosting I eat, the more weight I lose. I eat frosting, but you know, it has to be something believable. But I'm feeling good when I do it. But my brain takes care of my weight. But I eat healthy 95% of the day. But I find it's a way to keep me happy and healthy and feel like I'm treating myself. I've noticed that I gave up the negative story about it. And when I eat it now, I feel good. And it's really working out for me. And it's really funny. For years, I carried all this baggage about it. But now I realize it's about my mindset. But now I see that it's about my happiness, right?
Wow. It's interesting. I think in business and in innovation, but is the word we avoid. And I don't agree with that, because I actually think constructive conflict is really powerful and important. But it's one of those, like, everything's supposed to be an and. And I love what you're saying, because it seems like it almost sneaks it in the brain, where you give it the statement that it believes right now and then negate it, versus trying to, what feels like a battle, I think, oftentimes in the mind.
Yeah, well, and the thing that we're trying to get people to do with Train Your Brain is that most of us can't do those positive affirmations. The one I like to use is, they always say people should feel deserving, you know, and they always say, Dana, if you're going to make more money, you got to raise your deserve level. And I'm like, you know, but really, how do you do that? Like, I don't know if it's that I'm raised Catholic, or I can sit and wrestle with that, and I can argue with it, and I can be like, ooh, I should feel more deserving. Or I can just go, you know what? I still don't feel deserving, but I'm on my way, but I'm still making money, but I'm willing to be the example for other things. No, I don't feel worthy, but who cares? I'm still making $1 million. You know, it's like you just have to find a way to talk about things that are easier, feeling in a way that feels good.
So when someone does that, so let's say, you know, I am struggling with, I feel overwhelmed at work, which I know a lot of us do. So I start saying this, you know, God, I used to feel overwhelmed at work, but now it's just all happening so easily. Or now I'm just totally ahead of the game, whatever it is. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm an interrupter family, so don't let me do that.
No, so am I, so it's all good. Please, I come from an Israeli background, so if you're not yelling and interrupting, you're not engaged. And we're like, what's wrong with you?
If I don't interrupt somebody in my family, I don't get to talk. So it's like, all right. So here's the thing, because I really love this one. And if I bust myself on anything now, it's the I'm so busy story, right? Because it's like a cultural, like, I'm so busy, I'm so busy, I'm so busy.
Yes.
So the shift I want people to make is two things with this. We feel overwhelmed and we feel busy because we think that's what is making us successful is action. Mm. And if you line up 100 people who are at the top of their industry and you ask 100, what did you do to get successful? You're going to get 100 different answers. Oh, you got to be on LinkedIn. Oh, you got to go to
network. Wake up early.
Yeah, exactly. All of this stuff. So there's no common denominator in action. But if you line up that same 100 people, they do have a common denominator. And the thing is, they think differently than other people. They have a different expectation for success. And so if it's not the action that is making you successful, if it's the way you think, when you make mindset and thinking different thoughts and feeling positive, your go-to, your first thing that you do, what happens when you get happy and you think thoughts that make you happy, you open up the creative pathways in your brain. So when you're frustrated, you shut down the creative pathways, overwhelmed, same thing, feel good, open up the creative pathways. When you get happy, you feel like taking action. You get access to good ideas. You show up in the world in a better way. You like people better. They like you better. You get better results. You get in the flow. You work half of the time and you're just so productive and stuff just is, you're in the zone. We've all had that experience. And what I'm telling people is that you don't have to wait for that experience. You can create that experience when you make feeling good your number one stop. It's the most important thing. So overwhelm is a time problem. And you have a time problem when you're using action to build your business. You have to have time. But when you're using mindset to build your business, you can build your business while you're loading the dishwasher. You can build your business while you're making the bed. You can build your business while you're playing with the dog. You know, there's no limit to the amount of time you can spend thinking positively, feeling good, daydreaming, getting access to good ideas. So overwhelm goes away. And it's just not practical. It's not practical to be overwhelmed. So again, you can feel overwhelmed and feel bad, or you can feel overwhelmed and you can say, I love my full life and everything gets done in perfect timing and everything is okay. I have never missed a deadline. Okay. Or let's turn it to a positive. I always make my deadlines. Life is good for me. Things are working out. I love that I have so many choices. I love that I have such a full life. It's so fun to have so many different things calling the life force through me. Feels so good to be so interested in so many things. It makes me feel alive when I see all these things that I desire and want to do. I love that if I do it with mindset and I just relax, I do the perfect thing in the perfect time. I love feeling in the zone. I love feeling in the flow. It feels so good to live such a big, full life. Now that's a feel good, right?
Yeah, it feels very good. You know, as you were talking, it brought up this mildly painful memory about, I'll just say, because it fits into this. When I was in my early 20s, I was working in a pretty prestigious consulting firm in New York City, so brand strategy and innovation. And I had this boss who just didn't like me. But on top of that, I will never forget being called into her office because I'd get in early, like 7 a.m. and leave by 4. And I would put my stuff in her office that she needed to look at. Like I was getting my stuff done and getting it done well. And she railed me for not being busier and not being there till 5 and not having to stay late. And that really, unfortunately, guided a lot of my thinking of like, wow, am I being lazy? I, like I went out at 4 to go for a run instead, and I should be in the office at my desk. And it took me a long time, and I don't blame her. I blame me for not doing the work earlier, but it took me a long time to come to grips with the fact that, like, my life now, I get up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym at 5, and then, you know, I do a couple hours of work, and then I have breakfast and probably take the dog for a walk. And I used to feel so guilty, like, oh, I should be, like, at my computer on email every moment of every day.
Yeah, it's a real cultural thing too, to think that that's what's building it. And I know, if I look at my day, I'm taking so much more time off to just putter around and do little things and do little feel good things. But I know that that's not time off. That's time that I'm doing the real work. Nobody gets a brilliant idea when they're focused on their computer, staring in, punching, building a website. They all get one when they're in the shower, in the car, or whatever, because that's when your brain is disengaged. And so, you know, it really, the thing isn't, again, what we're doing or don't doing, but it's the story we're telling about it. And so what I'm trying to help people to understand is that when they take time off, and they're doing those things that are fun, or they're doing those things. I know you're a big CrossFit person, right? You're doing that. When you're leaving CrossFit, you are saying to yourself, this is building my business. This is building my business. It feels good. And when you feel good, you make better choices and you get better ideas. And so it's really like, I'm so passionate about this. We care about the clothes we wear. We care about the car we drive. We care about the food we eat. Oh, Lord, the food. And I want people to start caring about the thoughts they think.
So give me, we kind of moved on with some stories, but give me some examples of if I'm busy, overwhelmed. Give me some examples of, and you said them a little bit in the beginning, but I want to make sure we repeat them so people really hear it and internalize it. Some phrases we can use to get ourselves and our mindset out of that. The ones great I should question. Have had after being called into my boss's office.
yeah. Great question. And remind me, if you want to come back and I can talk about dealing with other people too, let's come back around to that too. So when you're doing this, the thing I gave at the beginning where I say you can just say losing weight is so easy, or being relaxed is so easy, whatever it is. And those are mantras. But the way I like to find mantras for myself, find some phrase that's a big feel-good phrase, is I like to just try on a bunch of different ones. So you're in a moment, you're having a moment of overwhelm. And at that point, that's what we call the wake-up step. Step one, be aware, wake up. And then step two is the decide step. Do I want my reticular activating system to keep matching up this thought? I'm so overwhelmed, I'm never going to get it all done. Hold on. Do I want my RAS to keep matching that up? If not, then step three is where all the work is. I must find a way to talk about the current situation in a way that feels good. Because step four, you want to feel good. You want to get those juices flowing. And so when you're in that moment, you're like, okay, what would I say to my best friend or my child? What would I say? Well, I would probably say, like, well, it's going to be okay. You're going to get it all done. Just relax and ease back a little bit. Take a deep breath and realize, like, okay, what's important in life? What's important to me? I know what's important is I'm here for happiness and I want to feel good. And so I'm just going to take it easy and breathe and relax. And I'm a responsible person and I know that about myself. And I do the best that I can in any given moment. And I'm doing the best that I can here. And I know that my history shows that things work out for me and that things happen in good timing. And I love that about myself. I love that I can focus my brain. I love that I can think one thought after the other. It's nice to think thoughts that feel good. I love that I'm using my brain in this way now and relaxing myself and feeling better. And I know it's a really short amount of time before I start to feel the shift. And I love that as I start to feel better in my body, I start to get access to even more and more sentences. I love that I can believe in this and trust in this and feel hopeful. And when I feel hopeful, things work out better and I am hopeful and I like that. It's easy for me to feel hopeful and go to hope. And I love that I can move in a better direction and that I know I'm my best self when I'm feeling good. And so I'm using this as a practical tool to become my best self. I know I'm more productive when I feel good. This is really nice and feels good. And so you do those sentences and you can see we did it for what, 60 seconds?
Yeah.
And you start to feel the emotional shift and then your brain will take you the rest of the way. And this is the quote unquote work. We like to call it the play. This is the play. You've heard me at least twice on today's show say sentences where I go, okay, hold it, not that one. Let's do this one. Okay, hold it. That's not right. Let's do this. And that's what we do. You can feel it if it's not right. And if it's not right, you go, okay, hold on, do over. Try a different one.
I really like the lack of judgment in the process. I think we try to get it right away, or there are phrases that, like, maybe because it's the popular narrative, we think, well, that's how I should be saying this. That's how I should be feeling.
Yeah.
But your process really, I think, allows you to just open up, and because you can't actually innovate and analyze at the same time. Your brain can't do both. So what you're doing is really innovating and getting to the right place versus trying to kind of overanalyze before you even have the thought.
Brilliant. You're so brilliant. I love it. That's true. Because what we're doing is we're creating the emotional state so that we have access to the better thoughts.
Yes.
You know, if you make the emotions and you make the feeling better, and sometimes you can. Sometimes it's like, okay, I really am way too overtired. I'm crabby. I'm hating life. I'm hating everybody. I'm just going to go take a nap. And that's that, you know. Sometimes you need to eat something. Like for me, that's it. We have all of our conversations at 4 o'clock here in this household is like, you're cranky, you need to eat. No, you're cranky, you need to eat.
We need food.
That's right, exactly. You know, so what we try to say is just do the best you can and make it more fun and talk nicely to yourself and be here for the joy and make feeling good your first stop, because you're going to be a better you, and you're going to live life more fully. And it is just practical. Happiness is practical. And so really find a way to make that your first stop, because if you do, everything else just unfolds easily after that.
You know, I don't think we have time to get into it now, but you have this great section in your book about the emotional scale and how to get yourself from, you know, that kind of that way on the left to way on the right. And I have to tell you, I showed the scale to my son. You know, there's the anger, depression, all that, right? And he looks at it and he says, is there hangry on there? Because I think that's your number one emotion. I was like, yeah, no, he said, you don't get the other things. You just get hangry.
Well, and the thing I can tell everybody about the emotional scale, that to give just a little piece of it, is I think positive thinking movement, we get this rap that we're like supposed to be bouncing off the ceiling happy all the time. And I'm just trying to tell people, just feel more hopeful. If you can get more hopeful and you can get yourself to hope, your brain will take you the rest of the way there and you'll have some fun with it. Oh, I love that you're doing that.
Yeah, no, it's the emotional scale is brilliant. And the idea that you don't have to leap from one extreme to the other, but walk yourself there is how I internalized it. And I thought that was really brilliant. So for those of you listening, go get Train Your Mind, because that, I mean, it's all worth it. But that part was really eye-opening for me.
Yeah. Well, actually, and I'll tell you too, I'm going to give everybody the audiobook for free.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I like audio. I'm audio myself. Like I'm an audio learner. So I bet you you're a written word learner, but I know everybody has different styles. And I thought I could just do this. Just give it to everybody for free.
You know, it's funny. I thought I was audio, but it turns out I just don't internalize it as well. I hear it and I go, but I don't quite connect it in the same way that I'm writing. I totally get it.
Note-taking and all that stuff. Yeah. And so, if we have time, I can give you this little thing about other people too, if you want.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you one other question before we go into that, but I would love that. Let me back up and ask this other question first. You said something that really made my eyes go wide, and it was every thought is making the case for us or against us. And I know we've been talking a lot about the RAS, but will you dig into what you meant by that? Because I thought that was really profound.
Well, when you think that we have 60 to 90,000 thoughts a day that go through our heads, and the really shocking statistic is that 96% of those thoughts are the same thoughts we had yesterday.
That blew my mind.
Yeah. And so this is why it's so important to be a proactive thinker. And so when you think a thought, your brain takes it as truth. Automatically 100% truth. And so every thought you think, it takes it literally. You know, if you say I'm not smart, or I'm not, intuitive, or I'm not creative, or I don't measure up, or they have more than I have, your brain doesn't know the difference. Like even saying those thoughts, I'm saying those sentences, I'm really aware, like, okay, Dana, you can't say a sixth or seventh one, because your brain starts to get momentum on that story then. And so you have to know that every thought you think is making a case for or against you. However, having said that, I want people to feel more hopeful around this. Here's what we've been discovering after working with literally tens and tens and tens of thousands of people around this, is that you don't have to become like a Zen monk and get aware and think positively 50% of the time. Most of us are walking around unconscious 95 to 99% of the day, just completely unconscious, just, you know, going through the motions. Have you ever driven your car and you're partway down the road and you're like, how did I get here?
Yes. And then I'm concerned, like, do I always drive like this? Oh no.
Yes. That's unconscious. So if you can eke your awareness, if you can wake up and be a proactive thinker in your head, a half a percent more a day, literally a half a percent more a day, you will start to see ridiculous shifts and changes. You will feel like your life is just skyrocketing from just a little bit more awareness. So I don't want people to be afraid of their thoughts, but I do want people to be aware. And instead of going for the perfect language, go for the feel good. Just do what you can to feel good.
You wrote in the book about how it's also a choice. So you have a thought, and you can decide whether or not that thought is accurate, or if you accept it or not accept it, I think is the way you said it.
Yes.
And that was really, that was eye-opening for me. And I'll tell you, I had one of my, oh my God, who am I to belong here moments. And in my head, that's what I was thinking. And I had just finished reading that section. So I said to myself, no, thank you. I'm good.
Yes.
Like, I don't accept that. I do belong here. And just being aware that those thoughts don't control me, that I get to control my thoughts. Like, who knew? Like, that is so incredible when you realize that your thoughts don't own you in that way.
That's it. And that's the fun of this. And that's why we do the peacock feather experiment and the other, you know, the red roses or all those, is because people know, like, when I'm thinking about buying a car, I do see that car everywhere. Or gosh, I was pregnant and I saw pregnant women everywhere. But what most people don't know is that you can do that yourself. You can have anything, you know, anything you want. Just thinking about it and with positive expectation, this is what the naturals do. You line those 100 people up against the wall who are at the top of their industries, naturally they think this way. And so you ask them, how did you do it? And they go LinkedIn, because they don't think to say, oh, well, I just have a higher positive expectation than most of the population and I think better thoughts. Nobody thinks to say that, you know?
Right.
But when you realize, like, yes, I can choose. I can choose right now. And maybe if I say the thought, you know, let's do the comparison one. Well, I'm as good as they are. Or maybe I say, like, there's nobody like me. And I can hear that little devil on my shoulder going, no, you're not. No, you're not. Okay, well, that's not an appropriate thought. That's not a thought that's going to be feel good. Well, I'm on my way. Well, I'm finding my way. I'm finding my own voice. I'm getting better at this. I'm getting better at this every day. It's getting easier. I like that it's getting easier. Now, those are thoughts that feel good. Run with those. You get to decide.
There's something really powerful in that part. You've said it a few times now. I like that. I like that I can lose weight and eat whatever I want. I like that I'm an innovator. It makes you really want it because we want to feel good. There's something about that phrase that every time you say it, it makes me a little happier.
Yeah, me too. I also like a good one to start with is, if you can't think of anything to say, you could always just start with, I like that I can think in my head. I like that I can focus on one thought at a time. I like that I can be a brain trainer. You know, it's really like thinking those one thought after the other, after the other, and focusing in. It's easy to do, and it gets easier and easier when you practice. I like it. I'm starting to notice that. That's another one. I'm starting to notice that I'm getting better at this.
You know, it's funny. I named my little chatter like 6 months ago, maybe a year ago. I named my little chatterbox in my head, the negative one on my shoulder, Bernard, because I could say that name kind of sarcastically. No, thank you, Bernard.
Oh,
it just made him. It's a guy in my head. It made him less powerful to me, all that negative chatter, because he was this short, slumped over, darty eyed, like comb over little dude named Bernard.
That's hilarious. Oh, what a great idea to name it. That's another old NLP trick too, is to give it a voice that's like a goofy voice, like from Goofy or Donald Duck, right? So it's like, oh, you're no good.
I know. Yeah, Bernard wears pleated pants. So outdated. I love it. So I would love to spend some time on dealing with other people. As you know, you and I get to know each other, you'll find that I think innovation has two sides to the coin. One is, how do you become more innovative? But there's a really important second part that I think is not talked about enough, which is how do you communicate and get buy-in for your ideas, and how do you become an innovator and actually ripple that out versus, you know, end up getting bogged down by some of the systems, the culture, and other people around you. So I would love to hear your perspective.
Well, here's the thing to think about, and you may or may not like this answer, as may everybody else. So I'm just going to give you the cold, hard truth, and you can take this where you take it, okay? So here's what we know. What have we learned so far? Here's what we know. We all have reticular activating system in our head, and whatever we think about and whatever we talk about, that RAS looks for proof of it in the outside world for us. It looks for it. And so this doesn't only apply to our life circumstances, like I'm so busy or I don't have any clients or all my clients are broke, so it's looking for broke clients. It doesn't only apply to the way we are as people. It applies to the things we say about other people too.
Right.
So I'll tell you a little story that will drive this home. I had a friends for 25 years, and I started to notice when I was on the phone with her that she was so negative and it was just bumming me out. And I'd talk to my man about it. I'd be like, oh my God, I think I'm gonna have to stop being friends with her, and it's really sad. And yada, 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 on and on and on, story, story, story. And then I woke up and I went, oh my gosh, Dana, you know better. You can't keep talking about her in that way and expect for her to show up any other way for you. So I knew, like, I had brain training to do. So I'm like, okay, I remembered all her quirky habits, and she's a practical joker, and she's got all these weird hobbies and all the funny times we had together. Like, she loves to laugh. And so no big surprise. Next phone call I got on with her was a great discussion. We had so much fun. We laughed. But here was the surprising part. At one point in the conversation, I caught myself and I was just about to ask her about her partner and her daughter, the two things she was super, super negative about. And I realized in that moment, oh my gosh, who's the negative one? I have been bringing out all this negative stuff because my expectations that she's negative. So the thoughts I think to ask her are questions that are going to bring out the negativity. Oh my gosh, totally busted, right? So we get sometimes in the entrepreneurial world, like, my spouse is not supportive. And
right.
I say, if you continue to say that story, if you continue to say my spouse isn't supportive, or he or she doesn't support me, or she doesn't like what I do, there is, your brain is going, aye, aye, Captain, I got it. Let me notice and look for all the times they aren't supportive. But if you intentionally train your brain about the people around you, you are going to show up in the world differently, just like I showed up in the world differently for my friend. And you're going to get a different response from people because your expectation is going to be different. So if you want people to show up differently, you know, there's the school of thought that would say, well, cut everybody out of your life that's negative. And I'm not saying that's not necessarily good advice. But what I am saying is, you won't even have negative people around you anymore when you start expecting people to be positive and loving and supportive.
So I'm almost speechless, because I think it's really interesting to think of, if you change the canvas, it changes the painting, period.
Yes.
So if you change how you perceive those people, then not only, if I hear you right, not only are you seeing them for the things that you like about them or the things that are positive about them, and not focusing on the negative, but I have to imagine it's going to end up changing their response back to you as well. So it's not just you looking through a different lens, but they're actually responding to different stimulus. So they're, by no choice, really going to respond differently.
Yes, exactly. And that person may be negative with every other person in their life, but when they show up for you, your expectation for them to be a certain way will be so strong, and you will be looking at them with those loving eyes of knowing how awesome they are and how positive they are and how you can't wait to see them. That just like when my boss walked me around the office and said, Dana, she's brilliant, they will meet your expectation.
Yeah, I would love for all of us on Launch Street to do this for a week, just a week, and see, hopefully for longer, because the results will be amazing. But just to start, because I have to imagine, right, it takes a little bit of time to get it right.
72 hours.
Okay. I got to work through my own junk first, right? Of like, oh my God, I hate that guy. No, he has a lot of wisdom to bring to the table.
And, like, and you remember, tomorrow it's only if you want it to be hard.
Right. Oh my God, Dana. That just totally I mean, that totally blew my mind. It really, I had so much insight into myself in that moment of, wow, here I go, you know, oh, getting to the next level in business is so hard. I got to white knuckle it. I got to double down. Oh, I'm going to find peacock feathers because they're so hard. Oh,
isn't it funny?
And
what's fun is you're going to be able, that is going to be your touchstone from now on. It's going to be like, I can make it easy. I can choose to make it easy. I can make it easy. What would this look like if I was going to make it easy? You know, and really sometimes like I'm amazed because I know people come into our world and they're like, oh my God, she's so sloppy, or she doesn't have a blog, or she doesn't edit anything, or all these things. But I want to be the example of imperfection for people and saying like, make it fun. We have three phrases, fun, light, and easy, like make it fun, light, and easy. And you only care that things are perfect if you think somebody else out there is judging you. And I live in a world where I feel like everybody loves me. You know what I mean? So I love, like when I catch myself thinking that thing, like, oh, they're judging me. Then I have to bust myself and say, no, I'm judging them. I'm judging them as judgers. And I don't live in that world. They're not judgers. They're out there banging around doing the best they can. They're forgiving me. They're knowing I'm not perfect. I'm forgiving them. I know they're not perfect. We're just trying to figure it out together. We're getting it right sometimes, getting it wrong sometimes. And so suddenly it just like it's a weight off, like, oh my gosh, I can see people how I want to see them, and I can trust that they're going to see me like that too.
I love it. And I just wrote down that question of what would I do to make this easy? Or what would this look like if it were easy? Because that also, we didn't dig into when we're talking about questions, but that taps into the open loop part of the brain and its desire to solve it for you. So, which I use a lot of that in my work of open loops, because they can really work for you if you do it right. But I had never really thought about using it in the sense of easy. I use that open loop to solve problems, but I'd never really thought of like, what could I do to make today super easy and fun?
Exactly.
It just makes me happy thinking about it.
Well, and you know what, too? You attract people who are also wanting to make things super easy and fun. Yeah. And so then you start to create, you live more in that world. You live more in that life. And I know like you're already, you've got the awesome tribe and you're doing such powerful work out there and really giving people permission to remember who they are and act from their true selves and be their true selves. And, you know, the message is so similar to what I'm saying, which is that you're fine, just like you are. You're just fine. You're just fine. Just go out and do it and have fun and trust that other people will come there with you and other people will get you and they'll get you when you get them. So go out there and make a good mantra and vision about who those people are in your life and see them at their best selves and show up at your best self. And it just makes everything so much more nice, you know?
Well, it does. And I think your work in that and, you know, what we're trying to do as well is so powerfully simple. And I think all too often we are, you know, you look at all the self-help type stuff out there, not all of it, but a lot of it. And it's very much about adding a tool to your toolkit. Like, here's one more tool. If you do this tool, you'll get results. And oh, now if you do this tool, you'll get results. And I've never found any of that stuff to work. And it really wasn't until I just walked away from a lot of that and said, okay, who am I? And how can I be my best given who I am? And it was, that was a big shift for me in my life.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It is so awesome. And here you are. And now here we are. We're having this fun conversation together. And there's so many other people out there. Like I have, without a shadow of a doubt, you're attracting teachers and uplifters and people who are out there spreading the love and they have so much to give. And this is a jumping off point now, you know, be nice to yourself and talk good things and have good expectations and be love and spread love because that is what you are. I mean, gosh, what a wonderful mission.
Well, and I will tell you, as those on Launch Street know me, know I am very practical. I'm a free spirit wrapped up in a type A. So I love the practical and the don't give me the fluff. Like I love the soft, but don't give me the fluff. And the thing that I loved about your work, and I think what really attracted me to it is it's not just the things to do, but the why behind it, like the reticular activating and so many more. Yeah. But that to me, it's not even just a matter of credibility. It made me really understand how to apply it versus just trying to cut and paste in your book.
It was important to me too, because I people would be like, oh, she's airy fairy and all feel good, but there's that side of me that I really want to know, like, how does this work? You know, if you explain it to me how it works, I'm in. You'll get buy-in from me, and so I'm glad. I really appreciate. I feel the same way. I might even have to start using that, a free spirit wrapped up in a type A and taking notes like, right now.
Someone said the other day, can you be spontaneous? And my response was, sure, if you tell me when. I was like, oh, God, I just said that. Die laughing. All right, but before we have to go, where do you want people to go to learn more and connect with you?
Well, you know, if you go to danawild.com, you're going to learn about me with wild with an E at the end. But if you go to danawild.com/Tamara, you will get the Train Your Brain audiobook for free.
Even
my favorite
better.
Price. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's really exciting, I have to say, because this book is phenomenal and a really easy read.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it was really easy to go through, and it could have.
Well, I did all the chapters. All the chapters are like 3 or 4 pages, you know, because I did that thing where it's like you get to the end, you're like, oh, I could read one more. It's only 3 pages. I could read one more.
I felt a little bit like my Netflix binge watching. Like, it's just one more episode. I was like, I'll just do one more chapter. Just one more. It's totally, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what happened. Okay, I can't even believe we're at the end, because there's so much juiciness in this, and we're obviously going to have you back. But for now, what's the one mind experiment, as you call them, that listeners can do right now to help shift them?
Well, I think the most fun one or the easiest one is to do the It's So Easy one. I would really just do that for the next 72 hours. The next 72 hours, just pick something that you want in your life. And, you know, finding love is so easy. Making money is so easy. Losing weight is so easy. And make yourself laugh. Make it fun and make it funny. And just know, like, you've totally got this. You're going to think negative thoughts. Every day I think negative thoughts. And when you do, don't be like cancel, pop, pop, or beat yourself up. Instead, celebrate and go, oh my gosh, I just woke up. I just identified that I had a negative thought. It's so great. There it is. I see you. I'm not walking around unconscious anymore. Everything you're doing is just play. We're just here on the great adventure. And so bang around and, you know, stay the course. You're doing fine.
I think that's a great exercise for all of us to do. And I cannot wait to hear people's results. Dana, this has been more than a pleasure. I just, as I said in the beginning, like I'm a total stalker. I was so excited to have you on the show.
Oh, I'm a big fan of yours too. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.